I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Amen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus teaches us to love our neighbor, and he teaches us to be reconciled with our neighbor. But here in Luke's Gospel, we hear Jesus say that he comes to bring fire on the earth and division, not peace. What does Jesus mean by this? To get a little understanding of what our Lord is getting at, the next time you're at a family reunion, seek out one of your good Baptist friends or relatives and ask them what they think about baptizing babies. And you'll see a little division between you and them. Or politely, tell your Catholic friend that you think indulgences, purgatory, and praying to Mary are products of the imagination, and get back with me on how unified that conversation was. Hebrews 11 mentions faithful believers who were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. Those martyrs knew about division. They knew about being separated out from the world for the sake of Christ and his word, as they were tortured and killed for their faith. Divisions amongst church bodies, the division between the church and the world, come on account of Christ and his word. We can expect that. However, in this lesson this morning, Jesus is talking about families. Families will be divided because of him. If you meet a staunch atheist out in public on the street, and they tell you what they really think of you and your religion, it may sting a little bit, but you'll never see that person again. Just keep walking. But hear the same words of ridicule from a child, from a parent, or from a spouse, someone from the family, and the pain is much greater. In Jesus' day, the Jew telling his parents, "I believe in this Jesus. I believe that he is the Messiah," would have made for a painful breach between the parent and the child. The Muslim telling his family that, "I believe in Jesus, I do not believe in Muhammad," will suffer persecution, shame, and division as they seek to live by faith in the true light, even if it means bodily death. And we don't escape this type of grief because there is division, for example, when the college student phones up his or her godly parents and says, "Mom, Dad, I'm not going to church anymore. I just don't believe it. And by the way, I'm moving in with my significant other." The treasures of heaven are thrown at the feet of grieving parents by the child who thinks he or she knows better. And there is division in a marriage when one spouse has faith and believes, and the other spouse believes and acts like a pagan. What Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 12 isn't all that surprising when you think about it. The word of God does divide, doesn't it, Christian? Not everyone believes it. Not everyone lives by it. That's what Jesus is getting at. His word will cause problems in the world when you live by that word and others do not, and even attack you on account of your faith. His word is a fire, and it exposes sin and purifies us of sin when his gospel sinks into our ears and into our hearts. Faith is kindled, and we believe in the forgiveness of sins richly ours from God and Christ. But there will be those in families who hear this very word but reject it for something else. They stand in one kingdom while you stand in the other, like two armies, staring each other down before the imminent battle. These are painful moments, aren't they? Families are supposed to be united, loving. But it happens when God's word causes a rift. Some in the family believe, others do not. And the ones who believe, the ones who have faith, they live out their faith before God, and faith compels Christians to love their neighbor. And true godly love sometimes means pulling the erring loved one aside and saying, "Hey, we need to talk. What you're doing is wrong, and it's going to cause a lot of pain down the road." By the grace of God, they may listen and repent and throw themselves upon God and His rich, abundant, free mercy and forgiveness that is always ours in Jesus. Or it may go the other way. They pull further away and the division only increases. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament lesson this morning, he had a problem with people who didn't want to hear about division. They didn't want to hear about sin. They didn't want to hear about judgment. Jeremiah had a problem with false prophets. And the false prophets were saying, "There's no cause for alarm." And the people are described by Jeremiah as being stubborn. And the text says that they despised, they hated God's word. False prophets today claim the same thing, that they have received visions and dreams, and they recount this stuff while uttering the name of God. Let that sink in for a bit. False prophets have no problem uttering the name of God while spreading their lies. They lie, telling people, if they have faith, life will be good, meaning peace, prosperity, no disaster, no judgment is coming. Live and let live. Forget about sin. Forget about repentance. God is not silent when He sees cunning wolves devouring His sheep, and He reminds His people that His word will come to pass. Deny your sin and you will die in your sin. Deny His word, and it will be the word that dashes you to pieces, and no one will put you back together. The Fort Worth Water Department was at the end of my road the other day, and we were inside the house, and suddenly we hear a sound that reminded me of a machine gun going off. And when I looked out the window, I saw the workers had a big, giant, awesome jackhammer. And they're breaking up a part of a driveway. My 2-year-old was enthralled with this awesome tool, and we had to stand out in the heat and watch the workers break up the driveway. God's word is like that hammer. It dashes the rock to pieces. God also says His word is like fire. Jesus will cast fire upon the earth, He says. His word will go forth, both His law condemning the unbeliever to judgment and His gospel that kindles faith and brings life to the sinner. There will be those who hate Christ and Him crucified, who want no part of His word and despise the believer. And God's word also dashes us to pieces insofar as His good and His righteous law exposes us for who we are, sinners in need of a Savior. Sin always separates us from our holy God, and we were divided from Him in the garden when through one man sin came into the world, bringing with it death. Sin and Satan will cause division until God returns. But, the good news is, even now, amidst the chaos, amidst the division, there is unity. Unity still exists. Remember, the church is one. And the church has one foundation, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our separation, our division from God has been erased by Jesus' cross and blood. That's what it means to be reconciled. When the scriptures talk about being reconciled to God, that means the chasm, the separation between you and God because of sin has been closed by Jesus. And in Christ, you live as part of the church, the body of believers, called out of the world to live by grace through faith in Him and His Word. Friends, if you've ever had mud slung your way because you tried to help a loved one and things only went from bad to worse, that happens. Remember that Jesus, your Lord and your God, suffered criticism, reproach, mockery, and scorn from those He died to save. Jesus comes to save His people and He is rejected by His people. He endured from sinners hostility against Himself, hanging on the cross to unite His people into one everlasting kingdom. The judgment for sin, death for sin, that feeling of separation from God, all of that stuff that comes when we offend God and man, it has all fallen upon Jesus at the cross. Jesus would be baptized, and it would be a baptism of fire, in which He is immersed in the wrath of God, and He takes it all for you. My friends in Christ, in Luke chapter 12, the crucifixion is on the mind of Jesus. You are on the mind of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. The sinner is always on Jesus' mind. His sheep are always on His mind. And He has saved you in His baptism at the cross, where He shed and poured out His blood to claim you for Himself, bringing you into His fold as His sheep, His lamb. Indeed, His child. Faith receives all of this. Works do not earn it, but faith gets it. All of it. And we heard from Hebrews this morning where faith comes from. We heard that Jesus is the founder, some translations have author, and that He is the perfecter of faith. Your faith is in God's hands. He gives it and He perfects it. So my friends, fear not. In a world that is divided, in a world that is chaotic, in a world that is unpredictable, remember that you are not divided from your God. You are reconciled to Him. And by His work at the cross, you are part of His family. Remember that. No matter how broken your family may seem, being a part of the family of God is what matters, and that is your gift, yours on account of Jesus. And the family of Christ will always be united. His church will always belong to Him, now and unto eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto that life everlasting. Amen.